Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday center point. It's wonderful to be together, especially on this beautiful Wednesday. Thankful we are to the Lord for the warmth and the sunshine. My son was recently traveling with his business, and he was on an elevator. And I don't know if you've been on an elevator before and you've overheard a conversation. He was on an elevator and overheard a conversation among some men who were investors. And they were talking about an investment opportunity. And the next day or two later, he said there was something in the paper about this particular investment opportunity these guys were chatting about on the elevator. Pretty interesting. He hadn't invested in that. He heard about it, maybe wished he had. But have you ever overheard something? Maybe in an elevator, maybe just you're shopping, you overhear friends talking, family members. Well, one of the privileges we have in the Bible is to overhear the prayers of the saints, of Christians who have lived before, who have known and walked with the Lord. And that's kind of what our series here on Wednesday nights, it's entitled Praying with the Saints. And we're considering a prayer each week for just a few moments before we ourselves pray, that we might learn from them, that we might apply to our own lives and our own prayers, lessons from the saints in the Bible who have, the Lord has recorded these prayers for us. And tonight we're looking at a prayer of Moses. And as Moses prayed boldly, let's hear Moses's, the circumstances that led up to Moses's prayer, and then his prayer from Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives and sons and your daughters and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them with the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from your disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. This is quite a passage. It's Moses' bold prayer as he comes down from the mountain of Mount Sinai. In chapter 19, the Lord calls him up to Mount Sinai. And Moses on the mountain is transformed from being more of a meek and mild man to a man who is powerfully pleading to the Lord. On that mountain, he had, as it were, face-to-face fellowship, communion with God Almighty. Oh, there's the description of on the mountain of the thundering, the lightning, the thick cloud. The whole mountain was engulfed in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in holiness and righteousness and in fire. It was a reminder to Moses that the Lord is almighty, that he is holy, holy, holy. Much as Isaiah had that experience in the temple in Isaiah 6, where he saw the Lord lifted and exalted, and he exclaimed, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We read in Exodus 20 through chapter 31 of Exodus of the Lord giving his word, his law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And this began with the Ten Commandments and all the implications of what it means to live holy for the Lord in life and in worship. In the final verse of chapter 31, right before this passage, the Lord writes, and he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So we read here that Moses now comes down from the mountain, from a living fellowship with God Almighty. But what does Moses find on the bottom of the mountain? The covenant people of the Lord in blasphemous idolatry. They had turned over the gold from their ears to Aaron, and he had carved it into a golden calf, and they had worshipped it. This man of God who loved the Lord and loved the Lord's people, Moses, was outraged at the blatant sin and disregard of the people for the Lord himself. The Lord who, through many years of wanderings, was patient with them in the wilderness, despite their fickle faith, their quarreling, their ingratitude, all of that murmuring. We read that the people in verse 6 sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And boy, did they play. And God's assessment, his description of their play in verse 8 is that they turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. And the holy righteous Lord says, he tells Moses that he plans to destroy his own people and that he would start anew with Moses and Moses' descendants after him and making a new nation. But while the people were playing, we find that Moses himself was praying. He prays boldly to the Lord. And he teaches us about the importance of boldness in our prayers. Desperate situations call for desperate intervention and desperate pleading with the Lord. Moses truly knows the Lord, and it's on that basis that he goes to God and cries out and pleads with him. Those of us that have children or perhaps grandchildren may know where there is that relation and that trust. There is that sense where a child will come and plead and beg and argue and present a case. And that is what we find here. As Moses pleads with the Lord that he may turn from his fierce wrath and that he might show mercy, that the people might be delivered from his consuming fire. And there are two lessons about bold prayer that we learn from Moses. The first is that Moses' prayer focuses upon God's character. He pleads the nature and character of God in his prayer that God might show mercy to the Lord's people. He says, "Are you not the deliverer of your people? So why now are you turning to wrath? You brought your people out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand." And here Moses is pleading to God's character with passionate jealousy for the very reputation of God. He asks, when he's pleading based on God's character, "What would the Egyptians say if you destroyed your people? That you are a God who's not even able to deliver and to save your own people? Why should unbelievers have the last laugh?" is what Moses is saying. That your reputation, your character is at stake with your people. There's a second reason he gives in his bold prayer. He pleads God's covenant promises. Notice how he refers to God as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel. He mentions these great leaders, these patriarchs with whom God made certain promises that he would bless these patriarchs and their descendants, that he would give them the land of promise. And now God himself is saying, hey, how can he destroy these people to whom he had promised them the land? And so Moses understands not only God's character, but that God is a God of promise and that God keeps his promises. He keeps his word. Moses doesn't buy into the offer, the deal, that God would start anew with him. And he pleads with God that the Lord would show mercy and that his righteous and just anger would be turned aside from his people who were wayward in their sin. And we read the result in the final verse. At the end of this section, in response to Moses' prayer. Read in the final verse, verse 14. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Our natural tendency in prayer is often not towards boldness. But our God wants us to come to him based on his character, based on his promises. And he expects his children to come to him with boldness, with expectation. And so I trust that as we overhear Moses at prayer, in prayer, that we too will grow in our prayer lives, individually and as we pray together, corporately, as his children, that we might remember who the Lord is. His character might be the very heart of our prayers as we remind ourselves of who he is and speak to him of praise of his character. And then that we also might remember his promises. Those promises ultimately are fulfilled in Jesus. For those promises are yes and amen, and find their fulfillment in Christ. So let us, as we now begin our prayer time, as we pray around our tables, to begin conversational prayer with bringing our praise to God. Let's spend some time before we take up the sheets of prayer requests. Let us begin with our praise to the Lord for his character. And let us remind ourselves of some of the promises that he has made in his word. Feel free to gather around tables with groups of believers as we now go to the Lord, bringing him our praise for his character and for his promises. Let's pray together around the tables.